Good afternoon, welcome to Windows on the World with me, Mark Windows, coming to you from the UK, the United Kingdom. Yes, another show. What interesting shows we've had this week. We've discussed the Great Reset and the World Bank's demands on all countries to enforce tyrannical lockdowns in return for loans on the back of the COVID-19 action plan. And that has been something which I've uploaded to YouTube today because I thought it was so important. And we are still on YouTube. I don't know how long for. We get slightly marginalised on there. We should have many more subscribers, but we're in. We've been put into quarantine, I think. But everything we do usually gets uploaded to there, apart from the RBN shows. So I decided to upload the first one today up to our Windows on the World YouTube channel so that people could find us more easily on RBN. So hopefully we'll get some more listeners now, because I do put this stuff on the website at windowsontheworld.net, and we want to bring in as many people as possible. We've done some great shows. So I uploaded the show we did yesterday. Tuesday. We're on Tuesdays and Thursdays now on RBN. And my guest, John Kitson, was with me on Tuesday talking about the World Bank's demands on the back of the loans that it's actually given out. And Belarus did not take the loans. And Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, has come out and said that this is what was going on. They didn't want to take the World Bank's loans. And it's now come out through my network of fantastic and very knowledgeable friends and journalists that this has been the case in many countries, particularly Argentina has suffered terribly by taking these loans, and the imposition of the lockdown there has been particularly draconian. But yes, it does appear, though, when I look at my lifetime and the people that I've known, the old-fashioned Marxists have become the new communitarians, but the problem is they don't even know it. So they're part of a system that they don't even know. They still think they're on the left, when in fact the left isn't really there anymore. The left is merely a bigger part of the governance structure. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. My special guest from the UK is Alan Pearce, ex-BBC journalist. And Alan's been on the show before, very knowledgeable. And Alan's covered all sorts of issues over the years, including being a Kabul correspondent for the BBC. So he's been in several war zones. He's covered conflicts from the Khmer Rouge, the Taliban, was injured covering the fall of Kabul in 1996 while working as the BBC's Afghanistan correspondent. For several years, he edited the International Press Institute's World Press Freedom Review. And Alan specialises in training media professionals in all aspects of cybersecurity and digital counter-surveillance, something which I really do need to get up to speed on. Well, I've made a start, Alan. I've actually uploaded Tor Browser to my smartphone. But I think there's a bit further to go. We're also going to be hearing today from Vicky Davis from the technocratictyranny.com. But to get us going, I want to bring you a story which goes along really with what we've been talking about and the control of the media. I'm sure Alan's going to be interested in this. This is from CJR.org. It's been recently examined grants made by the Gates Foundation has found that they have given more than $250 million going towards, in inverted commas, and rather ironically, journalism. Recipients included news operations like the BBC, NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Journal, The Guardian, Univision, Medium, The Financial Times, The Atlantic, The Texas Tribune, Gannett, Washington Monthly, Le Monde, the Center for Investigative Reporting, which I've just looked at, and that is a template of all the other template sites which seem to be kind of putting everything into a global newsroom under Google. And that this is where journalism meets artificial intelligence and Microsoft wins. Well, also, there's BBC Media Action. Now, BBC Media Action are particularly, in my opinion, despicable organisation, because they actually go into countries and try and impose governance through this sort of NGO structure. And they're in countries all over the world. There's very few countries that they are not, in my view, interfering in. This, of course, Gates also funds the New York Times. And it says here, journalistic organizations such as the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting, the National Press Foundation, and the International Center for Journalists, which I've just looked at, and their website says, wait for this, you're going to love this one. Their website says they empower journalists to produce news reports that lead to better governments, economies, and societies. So now we're in the age of the journalist as change agent, as agent for change. There's a variety of other groups creating news content or working on journalism, such as the Leo Burnett Company, an ad agency that Gates commissioned to create a news site to promote the success of aid groups. In some cases, it says, recipients say they distributed part of the funding as subgrants to other journalistic organisations, which makes it difficult to see the full picture of Gates funding into the Fourth Estate. So I thought that was a good way of opening, Alan. What do you think of that to start with?
Well, I think the whole thing of people funding journalism, I mean, just automatically. I mean, we say in journalism, I think one of the first things I ever learned was there's no such thing as a free lunch, meaning if someone's buying you lunch, they want something from you. Equally, if someone gives you money, they want something from you. So I think the whole thing stinks, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because just before the show, we were talking about other funding, you know, basically from George Soros and the Open Society. Now, I have done quite a bit of research into this over the years, and it's absolutely astonishing how many organisations that Soros funds. So a lot of people who don't know this will say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Or if they want to be extreme about it, they'll call it an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, not knowing, of course, George Soros's past. And this is a huge problem because people see this stuff. And what I see, Alan, is a template way of writing these stories. What tends to happen in all of the news media now is that a propaganda piece attaches itself to a third-party story. And I just find that this is a template. Is this something that you're particularly aware of? Because I'd just like to get your opinion on that.
A template, no. I think a whole bunch of things are happening. One is funding.
Yeah.
So journalism really can't cover the things it would like to cover. Journalism got the nickname of churnalism in recent years because it's churning out so many press releases. And the people working in the media are becoming younger and younger and cheaper to employ and more desperate to hold on to their jobs. So I think that has an effect. I think if you look at the UK, you've got the BBC where it's just treading on eggshells. It's embarrassing to watch. If you're on the right of politics, you think they're left wing and vice versa. They can't win. I honestly think that the media is facing so many problems, particularly with having to combat, you know, other sources of funding, for example, having to combat social media, and to compete in that environment on such limited funds. They're opening themselves to situations where people like Soros or Bill Gates apparently do fund them. And as I say, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So, you know, you as a journalist might say, well, I won't let it affect me now. And some point later down the line, your manager comes to you and says, look, one of these organizations is threatening to pull the plug on funding. And it doesn't just pay for you, you know, it pays for pensions, it pays for this, it pays for that. And then suddenly you're in an impossible position. And if you do resign, they just put somebody else in your job who's got more flexible morals.
Well, I think flexible morals is a good way of putting it, actually. But I think it's more of an indoctrination program from what I've seen, because I look at a lot of these local newspapers, Alan, like the Live Group, which is Reach PLC, which owns the Express and the Mirror Group. And the sort of stories that appear in there are all these generic kind of propaganda pieces.
What's happened to local papers, yeah. I think, around the world, in the United States and Britain, is that they've been taken over by large combines.
Yeah.
And it's pure journalism, where, you know, a handful of stories, invariably coming in some form from advertisers, find their way into the newspaper dressed up as stories. In the old days, the local newspaper, be it for a small town or for a city, was the lifeblood of that city. And it existed because it had trust people believed what they read in those newspapers. I would be hard-pushed to find anyone, frankly, who thinks local newspapers in Britain perform that role.
No, they don't anymore. The Life Group is especially bad because they demonise members of the public. That they go against anyone that they deem now to be far right, which, of course, doesn't really exist. It's just a meme that was created by the intelligence services. And it doesn't really work. But I've had this problem with the Live Group, the Reach PLC, because they reported on one of our talks. And we were going to go down to a little place in North Wales called Fairbourne, which was going to be decommissioned because of rising sea levels, which actually aren't rising. And the world's leading expert in sea levels was going to challenge this. And this would have been a very big thing, because this is part of a much bigger agenda. But the newspaper down there, the Cambrian Times, the fellow was on the phone for about half an hour, 45 minutes. I gave him the whole outline of everything. I told him who Niels Axel Mourner was, one of the world's leading experts in sea levels. And they basically did a hit piece, and they tried to organise a protest through the paper against our talk. Would that have happened in your day, Alan?
Well, then there wasn't my day, where, you know, I lived the golden era of journalism. I mean, that sort of thing, I mean, just banging a drum for any particular cause is wrong in my book. It's all well and good for the newspaper to take a stance in its editorial columns, in its opinion pieces and so forth. I've got nothing against that. But your actual news stories reporting on a village that's facing or not facing a flood threat, that has to be reported straight up and down. And no politics, no matter what your own personal beliefs may be, you have a duty to your readers to tell them the facts as they appear.
Yeah, well, I had to do a follow-up article to it, which you can find at windowsontheworld.net. And it's all about that. It's in the articles section. I think it's called Fact-Free Welsh News Fails. So I think because we're in the days of memetic warfare, you have to think up a good title now. So in a way, you have to be quite creative at creating headlines if you're in the so-called alternative media. And I'm constantly doing that. But what I find, very disturbing about it is that we seem to have cookie-cutter journalists. They don't seem to think for themselves. But they don't think like journalists. Like the fellow who interviewed me on the phone, he sounded as though he was listening to what I was saying. But basically, all he wanted to do was write a hit piece on it because it didn't fit in with the ideology that had been implanted inside his head. And that's the problem I find with all of these sort of local papers now, especially that Live group, the Reach PLC group, which we have in the UK, and there's the equivalents of that everywhere. But this fella turned around and told me that it was a small independent family newspaper, you know.
Well, you should look at the funding somewhere, because I'm sure that's published. And I think also, too, that a newspaper's more likely to have to disclose these things than others. Those local newspapers, they're a sad reflection of they're not even worthy of the name, to be honest, the word news that should be struck from the title. They're just advertising rags, banging drums of one or other interest groups. There may be one or two exceptions. If they are, good luck to them, because you must be a very, very dying breed.
Well, I think they are. I mean, I can't think of any in the UK, actually, Alan. And I do look at quite a few of these local papers for stories. But as you're saying, they get kind of press releases circulated to them. And the Live group are particularly bad for that, in my opinion, because they actually, basically with the help of the police, framed a friend of mine, and it all went on Crime Stoppers, and it got into all these papers, and they make up their own headlines. So before someone's been found guilty of something, they say basically they are guilty. And they do this under a thing called qualified privilege, which doesn't actually apply in this case. But I think they know that you can't sue these people unless you've got a lot of money. To bring a libel case is very expensive. And they do have these lawyers who are going to try and slither out of it all the way and threaten you. But I find this absolutely astonishing, really, this demonization of people through these sort of so-called local papers. That's the most insidious thing. When Greta Thunberg was speaking in Bristol, they decided to trawl Facebook pages of mainly middle-aged men who looked as though they might have had a few too many beers throughout their lives. So you've got these sort of balding middle-aged men with beer guts, and they're sort of the archetypal far-right idiots, you know. So they went on Facebook and looked for the people who looked typical, and then went through their social media and printed it. And they were basically joking about what a dimwit Greta Thunberg was, because that's deemed as hate speech, you see. And this is the sort of thing, it's like a sort of communitarian Stasi, and they're basically recruiting spies everywhere. And I find that really disturbing, because they seem to think that this is acceptable, you see. That's my point.
Okay, I see it more that the journalists today, because of all the reasons that we talked about just now, I'd say they're more spineless than actually anything here by design. I think people don't want to lose their jobs, so they will bang the drum of whoever's telling them to write a particular type of story. And I think that's largely the cause, particularly, you know, the examples you've just given with the village and so forth. You know, I would think that was very much the case. And also, too, I don't know the journalist, I don't know the paper, but I would say that if you were a self-respecting journalist who had a deep concern about ethics and morals, you might not be seeking employment at some of these local newspapers in Britain, because you'd be a fish out of water.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's a good point. I think that, yeah, we were going to talk about other things today as well, and we're going to be coming up to the first break soon, but we were actually going to talk about this universal basic income. And another thing that I was going to throw in, Alan, was that in the UK now, you can actually get paid for having COVID-19. So I think it's £130 you get paid. But to me, this is really disturbing, because I know we were also talking about this at the beginning of the show. I mean, I'm talking about the great economic reset and what it's going to do to people, how it's destroying businesses, how it's going to destroy corporations that don't go along with the Climate Related Disclosures Fund. Mark Carney, of course, is heading that now at the World Bank. And I read this stuff, and it's very, very disturbing to me that the idea of being autonomous in this world is getting rather difficult. And my main thrust is now trying to find ways of still doing that. But yes, this universal basic income, it's just been rolled out in Spain, Alan. It's, and also they're talking about it in the UK. Minister for Economic Affairs, this was in Spain, Nadia Calviño, said that universal basic income would be introduced as soon as possible. Now, wait for this. To help with the crisis, but also indicated that it could be something that stays forever and becomes a structural instrument, a permanent instrument. So this, to me, indicates what I'm seeing on the World Economic Forum website, that we're being driven into a technocracy. Do you have any thoughts about that before the break?
Define technocracy first.
Okay. A movement that started in the 30s, which is basically about the control and management of human resources, which is us. Also, it's really about population management and control through artificial intelligence, what became artificial intelligence. In the early part of the century, the technocrats were really trying to push different methods of making populations comply. And pandemics is one of the things that they were talking about, actually. Global pandemics were a driver of the new technocracy. So to me, what's happening is part of that because of the way I've studied it. And when I look at what's behind it with the World Economic Forum and the way that they use their strategic intelligence website, which is hundreds of layers deep, and basically it refers to lots of articles which back up what's being played out in real time. So that's a little bit of an overview. But yeah, the technocracy movement of the 1930s is still around today. We're going to see you after the break. I'm with Alan Pearce, alanpearce.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
To Alan Pierce, we've got Vicky Davis, technocratictyranny.com, joining us in the last section. Just before the break, I was talking to Alan about technocracy and what it actually is. Well, there's actually still a website called technocracyinc.org, and it's really about technocracy. And so, Alan, I'm just going to read out a little bit of the history of technocracy for you. It began in 1919 in New York City in an organization known as the Technical Alliance of North America. This group included highly regarded men and women in science, education, architecture, mathematics, and medicine. In 1933, after it was obvious that technology was going to replace manual labor in many areas, technocracy was formed to provide information on how to create a plan, a blueprint of sorts, to have an economy based on the best utilization of the technology available to make decisions for the good of society and the environment. We have the plan and it is viable now through documents such as Our Common Future and into United Nations Agenda 21. We have this new system that is being imposed. And of course, we're talking now about artificial intelligence taking over and robotics basically taking over all industry. This has been ongoing for quite some time. So that's basically what technocracy is about, Alan, and how it ties in to what's going on at the moment. Were you not aware of technocracy before?
Well, no, I know. I've heard the term. I just wouldn't have you define it for me. The thing about technology is you can't actually stop it. Just ask the Luddites. And it, there's nothing you can do, around us at the moment. AI, artificial intelligence, so-called, is being introduced without public debate. The use of algorithms being introduced for all sorts of things that affect the public without debate. And there's nothing anyone can do, it seems, to stop that. Most of this stuff is driven by large corporations who effectively operate above or beyond the law. And if they want to introduce some amazing app that's going to make your life supposedly easier, most likely people will sign up for that. The fact that it's technology on the march, there's nothing you can do to put the brakes on. So I think the thing to do is to try and think as far ahead as we possibly can, see where technology is taking us and what we can do to combat that. And I think one answer to that is, in fact, this idea of a universal basic income.
Can I just step in here for a second?
Vicky Davis, yes, do come into the conversation, Vicky, because we're on to your favourite subject here, technocracy.
Yeah, I define technocracy with a lowercase t rather than an uppercase t as being systems engineering for perfection of process, the elimination of chaos. And the... as far as being able to stop this global agenda, it could be stopped by cutting the fiber and standing up one of the executives of one of these big companies, standing him up against the wall and letting him have it. Because if they continue on the way that they are continuing, all freedom for mankind will be gone.
It's interesting, Vicky, because I keep up with this stuff quite a lot, and the websites such as biometricupdate.com, the idea behind it is really about driving profit. And so they have these people up front who are basically taking away all your rights and freedoms. It's going to make your life a lot more miserable when we're going through airports if we're allowed to travel. And they want everything privatized. So basically, the data gathering now is all about this new economic reset, the Great Reset. And even if you want to book a doctor's appointment, for instance, in the UK now, you have to fill in about 100 questions for a third party before you get through to your doctor. So this new system's already in place. And yes, I mean, it's interesting because this argument that maybe some people want to go backwards, I don't know whether that's relevant, Alan. It's more like it's who's in charge of it and what's it for. That's what disturbs me, because I really don't like these impositions and these assumptions on my behalf made by what I would call technocrats.
But I don't see how you can stop it. You know, I don't actually think there's a need for any reset, because we're on the path already and it's just a matter of time. And the thing is that technology now is moving so fast. It's moving at lightning speeds in the background that before we know it, AI and algorithms will be everywhere, and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Nothing we can do as individuals. Our government officials...
You may make a wonderful stand. I may do the same as so may Mark and so may many of the listeners. But quite frankly, it doesn't make any difference.
Well, if they thought that their families were going to be genetically engineered by one of these global pharmaceutical companies that is all about technology and innovation and new ways of doing things, and they engineer a nanobot that's going to be injected into you at the next, flu season, I don't know, that might wake them up if we could ever get them to understand that they are in the same boat we are.
That's great stuff. We're talking technocracy now. We've had quite a week already, and it's only Thursday. See you after the break. I'm talking to Vicky Davis of thetechnocratictyranny.com and Alan Pierce of alanpierce.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are no Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Redfield Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Lively conversation today, as usual with Vicky Davis and Alan Pearce. Before the break, we were talking about technocracy and what it is and what it's doing to us and possibly what we can do about it. So we're going to carry on that conversation now. We've been talking about universal basic income. We've been talking this week, really, about The Great Reset, which is actually a book. And the book is by Klaus Schwab, who founded the World Economic Forum, and Thierry Malory, who's actually a contributor of the World Economic Forum. So, yeah, we've been covering all that this week, and really the bigger picture, which is what we talk about all the time. So, yes, interesting to talk about solutions here, Vicky. So your idea really was that we should get rid of some of these technocrats. Is that right?
I think that the global system should be dismantled completely and go back to having telecommunications within our own borders and production within our own borders. And I know it sounds really crazy, doesn't it?
Steel or something.
Sorry, Alan didn't pick that up. What did you say?
I'm saying, I mean, that's an amazingly retrograde thing to say in this modern world, that we all just close the doors and make our own stuff. It's just crazy. You're delusional.
It may be retrograde, but with the way that these multinational corporations are going, there is no limits on what they can do. And when you have
closing borders and making your own stuff, not everyone's got access to salt, for example. How are you going to do that? You're going to have trade. If you don't have salt, you're going to have thyroid problems. So everyone's got to trade in one way or another. When people crawled out of the caves, we've been trading, and we've been trading globally. And to think you could solve any of today's problems by actually going back and trading as if you were cavemen, I think you're delusional.
Well,
I don't think that was quite the point, Alan. I think the point is that it's about this infiltration through technology into everything. And, of course, corporations take over everything without... There's no limit to what's going on. I think that's the issue.
I think you're fine. And I don't think any individual, even if you form large groups of individuals, are going to stop the march of, let's call it, progress.
Why is it being defined as
progress? So we're talking about two different things, I think. I don't think we're really talking about close all your borders physically to everything. I think it's more a case of we actually take back governance rather than having this unstructured governance, which is artificial intelligence and corporations running everything, which is entirely corrupt. And if you want to see...
How would you propose stopping that? Because it is a fait accompli. It's happening now.
No, the point is that we're talking about unregulated global governance. It's unregulated. So I think Vicky's angle is that it's all about a system. So these systems need to be more heavily monitored and controlled. In other words, artificial intelligence shouldn't be allowed to take over everything, and corporations shouldn't be allowed to have access to everything.
No, I agree entirely, but I just think there's nothing you can do to make it stop. It's happening. It's happening faster than you can possibly ever imagine. A lot of it's happening in the background without your knowledge, and you're left with a fait accompli. And I agree entirely that it's wrong that corporations should be doing these things. But more and more, as we move into the future, you're going to see more deals between governments and corporations. Corporations will be calling the shots. The smaller people will be out of the picture, and you will have no sway one way or another. And as we move more and more towards funding by the corporations, governments will find they need you as the voter less and less.
Well, that's the point. If it's a fait accompli, then why bother doing anything? Just, lay down and die.
No one's saying that. I'm against cancer, but I don't have a cure, so I'm not doing anything about it currently. There's not much you can do to things that are beyond your powers.
But I can propose the unthinkable, which is to say, cut the fiber and start rolling back these systems and reducing the power of these multinational corporations, because they are going to destroy mankind. When you're talking about genetic engineering of people, you cannot recover from genetic engineering. There's no recovery from that.
No, genetic engineering is coming. And what's going to happen is the people that can pay for the upgrades will get them. And it's going to lead to two different classes of humans.
You're saying upgrade. What if it's a downgrade?
I'm not quite sure what you mean. You see, this is an interesting debate here now, Alan, because we've got onto something that I find very interesting, in that this whole idea of artificial intelligence is that it's not intelligence. It isn't intelligence. Intelligence is awareness, and intelligence is something that we have in our consciousness.
Okay, intelligence, the way it's used, is a total misnomer. It has to be conscious of itself to be deemed artificially intelligent. But it's like a lot of things. They just change the meaning of it over time. And now it means something entirely different. But everyone uses AI because it sounds good.
That's right. But what we're talking about here is genetic interference. And this always gets kind of polarized into a creationist versus materialistic viewpoint. And to me, it's got nothing to do with either of those things. It's somewhere in the middle, and it's somewhere in our misunderstanding of who we are, which is the point of view that I've come to, in that we are given an idea of what we are within a system, and what we are within a system is not who we are.
Well, it's a fiction.
World, it's what role they define you to be, which is the problem. They are designing the world and everybody's role in it. And if they don't, you know, I think Alan makes the assumption that this is all progress and all progress is good.
No, I'm not saying it's progress. I'm saying it's the way. It's a linear motion of humanity. You know, people had gaslighting, then they had electricity, and so it goes. And it's moving into this zone. And, like, there's nothing people could have done to preserve, say, the whale oil lighting, you know, corporations. They had to go because the electricity companies took over. And that's the way of the world.
Well, Alan, a lot of this now is not about market forces, is it? It's about something else. I mean, the Great Reset is not just financial.
No, I think everything ultimately is market forces. I think money is the ruling, the driving force. And with
money, It becomes the driving force.
It is, I think, humanity's driving force.
I'm not sure that that's true.
What might take its place?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that's a sort of a view of it, but we're going into a totally different kind of mechanism now. And that's what COVID-19 was all about. It's nothing to do with the virus. It's to do with the mind virus. It's to do with the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And COVID-19 is just a driver of change, basically. Like climate change is a driver of change. These things are just used to propel us into certain kind of agendas that are coming in, which I've been studying for a long time. And that's the point, in that who are these technocrats to tell us that we can't live on the land, that we can't grow food, that we have to depend on Monsanto, that we have to be vaccinated? They have no right to do that. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, if you want to take that analogy, I grow my own crops and I don't buy anything from Monsanto. I've also picked up an awful lot of seeds from my neighbours and so on.
Yeah.
But I'm lucky that I'm in that position. An awful lot of people live in cities and they can't grow and they have to go to the supermarket and then they have to buy this product, this terribly contaminated products. And
yes, and the whole
if
idea
they don't
of...
want to buy them, it's not like, oh, they stop selling them and start selling something that's wholesome. People would just go hungry.
Yes, but the whole idea of the new global action plan is the control and management of population in cities. In smart cities, and smart cities aren't going to be healthy places to live. They're going to be very unhealthy places to live. So basically, what this new system is about, it's about treating humans as just resources. And of course, when they are no use anymore, they can be put down. And basically, that is what the new industrial revolution, the fourth industrial revolution is all about. And it's about restriction of rights and the destruction of rights, destruction of property rights, which was one of the basic tenets of communism. But now they call it communitarianism. So if you kind of compare how it's gone, these sort of the new system is something that looks good in that everybody has to be part of it. But in actual fact, it's something that most people don't understand because they don't know how it works. The global governance system, I think, that Vicky talks about and that I've been talking about a bit today, is way beyond what most people actually are capable of thinking of, because they still think that Boris Johnson is in charge of something, when it's clear since this COVID-19 has come in that he's in charge of nothing. He's been instructed from above, and it's very clear that he's been instructed from above.
I think the same thing is true of Trump, actually.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing is true of probably most of the world leaders. I don't think these technocrats like Bill Gates and Eric Schmidt and, you know, just list them off, the ones that have been involved in the building of these multinational tech companies that are taking over. I don't think money is really the goal. I think the goal is really engineering civilization. I don't know what money does to people, but I think they basically lose their minds, because in the systems that I've studied and the things that I've looked at, it's not rational. What they're doing is not rational. You know, even if you make a lot of money, if you are destroying or altering the genetics of people, doing something that cannot be undone. I mean, well, according to them, yeah, people are like lab rats. You know, you can just get rid of them if you make a mistake. But that's the kind of psychopathic thinking that I see in the design of these global systems. And not many people are looking at it. They just, you know, accept it like you do, Alan, saying, well, nothing we can do about it.
I accept the fact that there's nothing people can really do, anything anyone can do to stop any form of progress. It's beyond any one individual's powers. And even
Alan, the point is that we're not really talking about progress. We're talking about a new system.
Historical example, for example.
There's no progress here, Alan. It's not progress. We're not talking about progress. We're not talking about progress. There is
no,
this isn't progress.
But it is the march. It is the way it goes. We can use another word, not progress, but it's a progression. Progress doesn't necessarily mean better.
Well, I think that's a very strong point. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that this week with the World Bank offering these loans in exchange for the countries being locked down. And I find all this very sinister, because it's beyond national government. And that is one of the main interests I've had over the past 10 to 15 years, seeing how this unstructured governance is imposed at a local level. That was the whole idea of Agenda 21. Think global, act local. When we've got idiots like Lady Gaga spouting all this stuff from the UN, and they think it's great that they're doing these concerts from their rooms, you know, and the whole thing has changed within 4 months. So to me, that's absolutely tyrannical. And yes, yeah, it's a technocratic tyranny. That's what I would call it.
No, I can't disagree with it. Everything you're saying, both of you, Vicky and Mark, you know, everything you're saying is the case, and the fact that these things are happening is true. How it's going to happen, I might have different views on that, but I think what is most definitely happening is that people will lose their jobs as technology moves forward, not necessarily for the good, right? And then what happens to those people? They become useless. They become useless as voters, become useless as consumers. What happens to them? And this, I think, is what everything is gearing up towards, the understanding that people will actually have nothing to do in the future. How do we control them?
Well, yes.
I think they'll be monetized by Big Pharma. You know, they'll be de facto donating their bodies to science for experimentation.
There's enough bodies to go around with 8 billion on the planet. She won't be able to base an economy on that.
Well, these big tech companies, they're going to turn money into just bits. Money is just bits in a computer, so they can generate as much as they want. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, right? I mean, so
why are they doing anything if that's the case?
Well, it's all progressive. You know, you don't. When you're designing a system and implementing it, you can't do everything at once. They've been working on this globalization project since 1990 is when I tracked it. It started before that, but 1990 was when they started into the technocratic part of it. And so they're 30 years into building this global technocratic system. So, you know, it'll probably take them maybe another 30 or 40 years.
But there's always been, in every civilization, there's been a means of control. You know, there's no purely anarchic societies, or if they are, they didn't succeed for too long. There's always been control, be it by the church or by the state. And today, it's the corporates. Where's the money? Where's the power? Politicians, you know, do not call the shots. Somebody calls the shots above them, the men behind the curtains that they may be historically known. For sure, that's happening. But you know, where do we go? What do we do? What can we realistically do that would put a stop or to any of this? You might try and wake people up to the notion, but then they're waking them up to the realization that they're probably powerless.
Well, this is going very interesting today. We'll be back after the break. I think we've got a caller after the break. Do hang on there, Murr in Wisconsin. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back, everyone. Yeah, we're having a great, interesting, lively conversation today. We had a caller just before the break. Murr in Wisconsin. Are you still there, Murr?
Yes, hi. Hey.
Hi, Murr.
I'm Mark and Alan and Vicky. You touched on it briefly there, both of, I think all three of you, with monetized and different words along those lines. The root of all evil is the love of money, and the love of money is usury. It shouldn't be for speculation. Exactly. It should be to service the people and the economy. No speculation, no usury, no debt, Germany did that successfully for more than 10 years, and that's the one thing you don't hear about because of that. And they were a Christian country.
Oh, absolutely. That's so right. And also, you're talking of things like that. I think debt cancellation, which used to be a feature of life many, many hundreds of years ago, where you would cancel debt, say, in the old Jewish culture every 7 years, doing things like that. I think that's a great idea.
Well, the old Jewish culture is still going on, only they've gotten too greedy. There is no cancellation of debt for us lesser people.
Well, the point is, we've been talking about this, Mer, last couple of days. I mean, the huge foreign loans given to these sovereign nations by the World Bank, the IMF, the conditions that come attached to these loans are seldom told by the governments to their citizens. Now, this is really tyrannical, what's going on. I mean, the fact that Belarus was the only country that didn't lock down was because Lukashenko didn't take the bribes from the World Bank. And
that's exactly right.
This
and there were three
the
Jewish
Bank,
people running it, didn't get in office.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's driving the whole thing. So really, we can just look to the head of the snake, really, which is the World Bank and the IMF. And they are taking control of countries and locking them down. Now, that is really not what we're talking about with technocracy. This is a step beyond. This is a tyrannical thing to do. And it's criminal, in my view.
Well, yes, but it's based on this same currency. And if you look at the international Jew, the world's foremost problem from 100 years ago, Henry Ford was still talking about it, okay? And he wanted to keep putting those pamphlets in the cars, and they forged his apology, Henry Bennett. So you always hear, oh, well, he had to buckle under, too. No, that's just the media overrunning everything, as always. The Talmudia. Got to get away from it. That's another arm, right?
If we can take back people's minds a little bit, it does help. But most people are brainwashed by all that nonsense anyway in the media. And that is one of the things that we opened up the show about. But I mean, we can go on about
Mancott factions. Yeah. Mancott. We can even make our own words. Man up and Mancott everything.
Yes. I suppose I know what you mean. I think I missed what you just said there, Mo. I cut out from it. Can you just repeat that
boycott,
phrase again?
Instead of boycott, Mancott. Mancott. Instead of boycott.
Oh, I see. Now I'm with you. Sorry about that. My highly active and minuscule brain is working a bit slower than usual today. But I am with you now.
Yeah. It's excellent,
I mean,
Mark.
I think the whole point about this is that this tyrannical financial system is above all this. So we've got the technocracy that's rolling it all out and controlling us. But when you look at the whole system and the Great Reset, it really is to the detriment of anyone who wants to have a normal life. And by a normal life, I mean just basically have normal things to do and be able to actually benefit from the fruits of your own labor.
I think mankind, it's the debt to the detriment of mankind in its entirety.
Yes.
Whole life.
We have
they
to go
homicide.
Now. That's it from us for today.
Bye-bye.
I'll be back next Tuesday.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight, and I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.